All right, there she is.
Hello.
Hello.
Is it working?
It is working.
Holy fuck. This is some technology for these pandemic times.
Absolutely.
Did we start?
Yeah, we started.
Oh, we started. We didn't even do our intro. Maybe we should do that again.
Why don't you start it over?
Okay. Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things.
The podcast.
I'm Naomi.
And I'm Macy.
And we're two professional counselors who talk about disturbing things.
And we're here today on audio. Normally we meet together, but we live in Washington State and we're both in shelter in place and meeting over Zoom and online.
Yep, so we are on Zoom so we can see each other's faces
Yeah,
and
we're gonna post the video later on so you guys can see our faces during this.
it's going to be our very first YouTube video.
I have a Hawaii background because I had to cancel my trip to Hawaii.
Oh, I should have put a California background because I had to cancel my trip to California. But what I do have in my background is the picture I took at the grocery store last week when there was no bread in the bread aisle.
There's
So it
bagel.
looks like, well, yeah, there's just like two things of buns and a few random blueberry bagels, and that's it. I was very disappointed because I eat toast every morning and no toast. But
Are
I've
you
been
still?
hooked up since then.
Yeah, I was about to say 7-Eleven's got bread if you need it.
It's all stocked up. I mean, the whole hoarding thing so far is pretty irrational because things are being stocked up. Like the grocery stores aren't being shut down.
Yeah.
So I have a whole bottle of wine here tonight instead of a can
Me too.
because I stocked up on a whole case of cheap wine. That's not hoarding, that's just stocking up, being sensible.
Yes, very sensible. So my mom is currently making the masks, the respirator masks. I think you saw that
That's
on
cool that
Facebook.
she's helping out with that. Yeah. I was trying to go through my sewing stash to see if I had some elastic to donate, but alas, it was not the right kind.
That's, yeah, too bad.
I am going to re light our Robert Smith votive candle because I think we need the cure now more than ever.
Absolutely, more than ever. Hi, Kat. Welcome to the room. Thank you for joining us in quarantine.
Yeah, this is so future for us to be in two separate places, but we can see each other and be on the Podbean together.
I know. I normally drive across town to be in your attic.
So I think the silver lining to this whole thing is it may just cure the environment. I saw that the pollution levels across America and China were down. In Italy, like the water's flowing clear. So if we can find any kind of rainbow at the end of the storm, that's what it is. And I forgot matches. So will you talk while I go get some matches?
Sure.
Sorry.
It's all right. So, one of the things that I wanted to touch base with everybody today is things have been escalating in states. Around the United States, as far as deaths from the coronavirus, as well as infection rates. But major kudos to people who are self-quarantining and, staying out of group environments. It's important. Good job getting matches. Yes.
Let the power of the cure
Power of
help
the
us
cure.
in these dark times. We need the cure
Robert Smith.
for COVID-19. So,
My mom made
who's
it to the
first
room.
tonight?
We have a guest speaker today.
Yeah, talk about your guest speaker, and then I want to show you what I made.
Cool. So, a guest speaker today is Kathy. She's my mom. So, you've heard stories in the past if you're a previous listener from my dad who worked in the prison system for 20 years and My mom also worked in the prison system, just in a different area. So I'll let her share her story here in a little bit. But yeah, so she'll be on in a bit.
Macy's a prison baby.
Prison, well, it didn't happen there, I don't think. I don't know
So,
for sure.
I've been working from home, which affords me a little extra time for crafting and whatnot. So, I made our disturbometer.
Oh,
It's hard to
sweet.
see. There you go.
Yeah, I got it.
Yep. So,
Cool.
we can rate how
We could have
disturbing
the room rate.
the They could. And if you would like this to be a t-shirt, we can make that happen. My son's a graphic designer, so he could whip up that design. Lickety split.
Oh, so let's see here. Any other check-ins before we get going?
I just wanted to give a shout out to another Spokane podcast that I've been listening to. It's called The Dylan and Tommy Show. They review movies. And so I've been listening to that. It's been making my drives around town enjoyable, even though I haven't been driving much the last few days. But so shout out Dylan and Tommy Show. I feel like I want to do a crossover show one time where maybe we could review a disturbing movie together since they do movies and we
Ooh.
do disturbing shit.
That sounds
I don't
exciting.
know.
Yeah.
We'll probably have to wait till all this blows over, but oh,
Yeah.
we could do a four-way Zoom.
We barely
Think of
made
the
this work.
possibilities. I
So,
like how my
your glasses, I know.
background like only works if you're right in the right area.
Remember that they can't see your background.
Just imagine me sitting in the bread aisle of the grocery store.
And I'm on an
That's
Hawaii beach. So, who gets to go first?
I think you actually.
Me? All right. So, I picked a topic today that I feel is slightly relevant. But I would say maybe like a 5 or 6 on our disturbometer. So, I'm going to talk today about brainwashing.
Okay, let me dial it in.
Dial it in. All right. So,
Okay, five.
in the United States, brainwashing really kind of hit mainstream thought when we had sent about 300,000 troops to fight in the Korean War. So, we sent a lot of people over there to help them out, and something strange happened when they came back. They weren't sharing horror stories of what happened there or of the belief systems there. They came back sharing pro-communist ideals and like honoring the virtues of communism. So
Ooh,
having
are we talking propaganda?
partially. So in some of those things, but propaganda is like a small piece of it. For brainwashing, it is kind of those extra steps that make it more radical. Because propaganda can happen over time, where brainwashing can actually be very quick, sometimes happening instantaneously. So, CIA operative Edward Hunter said that brainwashing really tries to create a slave race of people who will just do what is wanted of them without retaliation or revolt. It's to change the mind so radically that the owner becomes a living puppet.
Sheeple.
Sheeple, and all without others being aware of it. So that's really the goal. The victim adopts ideas that are opposite of their very own, and it happens quickly. So, what's a belief that's important to you, Naomi?
I believe that good people outweigh bad.
Okay. Would there be anything that to make you think differently about that?
If it seems like bad people are outweighing good.
How do you end up knowing that?
Well, it's based on my personal experiences, which of course affect my perspective, but as we know from confirmation bias, all that is just skewed anyway. So
Good point.
what we pay attention to is affected by our experiences and our belief system and all that. So I think as long as I keep believing that there are more good people than bad, then that's what I'll continue to see. That self-fulfilling prophecy. But I
Yes.
think at some point, like, the evidence has to overwhelm that, unless I am delusional, where evidence doesn't matter.
So, William Sargent, 1907 to 1988, he had said that brainwashing is no different from political influence, therapist influence, or religious conversions. So
Interesting.
that made me pause, right? So, counseling, we do have a pretty significant impact on people that is oftentimes people say life-changing.
Right, but a lot of times we are helping them identify things that we feel are irrational and helping them change those,
Based on,
on what we think is rational and irrational.
yeah. So we have the
And I
power
really
to do that
try
pretty quickly.
not to do that. I try really not to do that, but if there's things that seem like it's harming them or distressing them, that I focus on those. I try not to put my own biases or my own ideas of what's right and wrong in there. I mean, I try. I don't think it's totally unavoidable.
And there's good things in therapy. I mean, there's good benefits of therapy. Doesn't mean that we aren't influencing, though. We are definitely influencing, and you just being a part of it impacts all of it.
Right. We are supposed to try to keep our own biases in check and out of the therapy process, but I don't think it's possible when you have implicit biases you might not even be consciously aware of. It's not totally possible.
Yeah, and we have there's a philosophical concept called hermeneutics, which means that everything new coming into a perspective is changing the overall picture. So under philosophical hermeneutics, it's saying that there's no way that you can't have influence. That saying to not have bias is a flawed picture because you will have bias and it will impact what you do, even if it's not for bad, it can be for good as well. And there's different levels of influence.
I decided to
So,
back up because I realized my
yeah.
head looked way bigger than yours in the video, and I wanted our heads to be the same size.
You don't want your face? So, in my face?
I didn't want it so close to the screen, so I'm sitting back a little bit in the bread aisle here.
So, how does this happen? I was curious, like, how does brainwashing actually happen? How are like certain people more susceptible to it than others? And what does that look like? Because we've talked about hypnotism before and how that can be, there's kind of suggestibility for some people that's stronger than in others. So, how do ordinary people radically change their deepest beliefs and way of life? And this all goes back to Pavlov. So his research on the nervous system and the responses for behavioral conditioning actually was the first impact for Russia and China in their brainwashing tactics. So behavioralism. So
Makes sense.
what they were finding is that, and what Pavlov found, if you impose stress, the dog breaks down. And what he found within that is that any previous conditioning that happened all but disappeared. And then newly developed behaviors get embedded at a much deeper level and are much harder to train out of. So during that period of high stress. So emotional breakdowns on a normal brain are the key time for brainwashing.
Oh, when people are weak under
So
stress.
intense emotions are tied in with these things. So that creates that high state of subjectibility. So they really what they say is that this is the perfect time for mental rearrangements. Your brain is going to start rewiring how it thinks because under mental stress, it wants to fix a problem. So it's going to do the most rewiring during that time. So to give an example of religious side, in sermons, John Wesley in the 1700s would hold sermons and say that people would burn in hell if they died without believing in God. And this would create violent emotional responses from people in his crowds. Like they would be like shaking and like flopping around on the floor and having these huge emotional reactions. And then he would offer them salvation and peace if they left rejoicing in God. So most of them did leave rejoicing in God and they felt at peace. And these were people who previously weren't believers.
So, is this kind of like boot camp where you have to be broken down to be built back
Yeah.
up
You have to
as in a
learn.
certain model in a certain form?
And boot camp, that's a great example because everybody has to do boot camp, and there might be a good reason why, as far as getting people to believe that same kind of model of thinking.
Yeah, everyone's got to get on board, and so you have to kind of get rid of any preconceived ideas or ways of life that might get in the way of the way you need to believe in order to be a soldier.
Yeah, perfect example. It also comes up in relationships. So gaslighting is a common way form of manipulation in relationships that has to do with brainwashing. So I looked up specific tactics in relationships that are used. Do you know any of these? Have you seen any in your counseling experience?
I
Or
don't
personal life,
know.
or personal life.
Yeah, I mean, I don't do a lot of couples counseling because I hate it.
I do some.
but I know I've been in situations where I just feel like I'm going crazy, and that's usually my red flag. You know, eventually I learned that's my red flag that I need to get out of the relationship. Like when I start doubting my own self,
Yeah, that's a big one.
I need to bounce.
So that's
Like, yeah.
pretty far down on the list too, which probably means you had a bunch of stuff happen even before that happened. So
Probably.
one of the
I tend to
first
sit too
things,
long in things.
isolating from friends and family. So really your friends and family are the ones who point out reality to you of like, what are you doing? So you may notice yourself isolating. They may blame your friends and family, act jealous, introduce you to friends who they say are better to try to pull you away. And they tend to be very charismatic people in public and may still be kind of have an opposite interaction with somebody in person. They create a fictional romance. Like this really kind of built up romantic picture. I don't know if yours was your experience really romantic. So
I don't think I had that part of the list. I did have the part of the list where my sister called me aside and said, "What in the hell are you doing?"
Well, I remember you being on the floor one time and being like, "What are you doing?"
When I'm the saddest, I find myself face down on the floor. It's my go-to.
It's a good place. Very grounding.
It's like there's nowhere lower I can go, and I need that support of the ground.
They also monopolize intention, so they may create drama intentionally to make them kind of the center of what's going on. And constantly texting, showing up, making you feel like things are your fault. And
Yeah.
then, yeah.
I mean, not from my experience, but yeah. I mean, I think if you're going to be good at gaslighting, you really have to be a master of manipulation. Like, you're good.
Weakening resistance. So this is where they may say certain emotions are off limits, like don't cry, you don't get to yell, those sorts of things. And they may also say that humor, like if you try to make light of something, they may shut that down because they're really trying to exhaust you. Again, going back to that concept of brainwashing, where you are at a emotional breakdown point. So you get more emotionally exhausted. They threaten things that you care about. They put you in impossible ultimatums and give you occasional indulgences, which may be things, or I think it's called like the honeymoon period, where things all of a sudden feel really nice after you're.
So this is like an abuse cycle,
Yeah,
abusive
absolutely.
relationship cycle with the honeymoon period.
So that usually the honeymoon cycle tends to happen when they start seeing that you've gained insight, when they're like, oh, they're on to me. They'll start to step back to create a feeling of peace, and then that person likes the peace, and so they stay. Really, all of this reducing someone's joy. The final thing is if you confront the person who's trying to brainwash you, they may go to humiliate you or degrade you to really try to impact self-worth and wounding.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's pretty common because they want to turn it around on you all the time, flip the tables. So
Yeah.
if you ever try to question that person, they're going to immediately flip it around and like, oh, you're not trusting, or you're, this or that, too sensitive or something, where then you just feel like you're at a loss and you can't even go to that person and have a discussion because you're going to be attacked.
Yes,
And then you're like,
and the quiet
maybe it
feels
is
so good.
me.
Yeah, exactly. That's where
Am
that
I
self-blaming.
overreacting? Yeah. Maybe this
So
is normal. I've thought that. That one was mine.
So
Maybe
brain
this is
root.
how relationships are supposed to be.
Heard you say that before. This is what they're all like.
All
So
relationships are fucked up.
your emotional breakdown happens, and it can happen to a normal brain. Like it's everybody could have this happen. It's not a specific type of person who is more subjective to it. It's more about having the emotional breakdown where you are looking for salvation, you are looking for that calm. Nazis and Hitler, another example. So saying that the Jewish people would eliminate the entire population. So he got everybody very scared and then said, and we have a solution for that. So
Well, and also going to them, the German people, when they were in a time of weakness, right? So there was a huge recession, and so everybody's stressed, to go back to your original points, where people are most susceptible and vulnerable to those. So people are stressed, they're losing their livelihood, and to be able to say, hey, I know what to do about this, or I know who to blame,
Absolutely. And I feel like it's happening a little bit now as well with the media around coronavirus, like the fear installation, and everybody's very scared. So I think being self-aware enough to know what's real and what's in your control and what's not, and not allowing yourself to be so subjective to people with easy solutions.
Yeah, I had to put myself on a news timeout because I was getting way too anxious.
I did too. I had my first day in quarantine. I couldn't actually, no, I overlooked everything and I was just reading articles all the time, And I'm like, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Calling people, and then by day two, I was spent. It's like I'm done. I can't. I need to just play video games. Tune myself out.
Well, because, yeah, like you said, there's only so much we can control. And once we have all that in place, to just continue to ruminate on it is just going to add to our stress. You know, I mean, I'm trying to make the best of it. My son and the baby moved in, you know, a little bit ago. So I got a full house. He brought his two cats. So now I have three cats living in this house, and a pit bull, and a baby, and
Nice.
two giant sons and me. So that's a lot of people in this little house, but trying to make the best of it. Working from home means I can stay up on the dishes. Yeah.
So one thing I saw was on Facebook, somebody posted like, here's the recipe for making your own hand sanitizer. And but the reality is that you can't get those products anyways, but like the relief that people start to feel with this, oh, here's a solution to the problem, and not really looking bigger picture.
Vodka.
Yeah.
Vodka, vodka, vodka.
President Bush is my only other example on there with the terrorism and how they're all going to kill all the Americans. And so then it made going to war seem much more like a good idea. So how do we fix this? How do we fix it?
How do we fix this?
So,
Or was that rhetorical?
well, I do kind of have an answer. William Sargent stated that whoever is most roused, either to fear or anger, by politician, priest, or policeman, is more easily led to accept the desired pattern of cooperation, even though it may violate their normal judgment. So if you're quick to get
Rouse,
angry,
you mean those that like kowtow to authority? Is that what you mean?
what does kowtow mean?
It's an old-timey word that means submit.
So no, most aroused would be the most excitable to fear and anger, like those that get most energized by those things.
So they like authority then. They don't rebel
No,
against it.
no, 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 no. They're the most angered or the most feared by those things.
Okay.
Sorry, cowed,
Kowtowed. I need to
cowed.
try to figure out how to make an anarchy symbol with my. Ooh, that's
Hands.
pretty good. With my hands.
It's not
Sort
good.
of. I'll keep
No.
working on
Okay. Don't throw
it.
gang signs on YouTube. So, what
I'm
doesn't
part of
work?
the rebellion. Question everything.
So glad I'm going first. So, what doesn't work for the brainwasher? Is the person who is detached, controlled, and finds continued amusement on the part of the subject who's being attempted to be broken down. So, having a sense of humor is one of the biggest things that helps prevent brainwashing. Like
Fuck
not
yeah.
taking, right? Like not taking
I got
things so
that
heavily.
down. I barely take anything seriously
So
unless
they
it's serious, and then I do take it
do.
serious.
They say courage, moral virtue, and logic are all important, but having humor that
How about
produces
two
a
out of three?
okay, which produces a well-balanced state of emotional, basically saying that if you have emotional excess of any kind, it's wasteful and unnecessary, and you should just laugh at it. Ha 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 ha.
I laugh in the face of emotional excess.
Ha 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 ha. Your empty bread aisle. Ha
I got my bread in the end. I've been enjoying toast every morning.
That's good.
Fuck y'all, hoarders. Didn't help. Oh, I'm not gonna say. I'm a little bit ashamed.
What did you do?
Early on, when this whole thing first started and there was no toilet paper, like the first day, I told my mom to ship me some from California.
She
And she did. So now I'm like living large with my toilet paper supply. I feel bad.
Wow.
So if anybody that I know needs a roll, I'll hook you up. DM me.
I just put in an online order to
I'm rolling
Rosars.
in it.
Oh, you're funny. Rosars did an online order and I got it in 3 days.
Of TP?
Yeah, yesterday I just picked it up. I got TP and paper
Oh.
towels.
Oh, they must be. See, that's why the whole stockpiling thing makes no sense, because everything is getting restocked anyway. I have been keeping a close eye on the wine. The second I see those aisles starting to thin, oh, it's down. I'm backing my truck up. That was a Billy Bob Thornton imitation. It wasn't very good. I have one charger and I have two things right now that don't maintain a charge, so I'm switching back and forth with the cord to make sure nothing dies.
Okay.
Because
Do you want to
my
do
phone and
yours?
my laptop, yes,
Do
my
your
phone and my
topic.
laptop both don't hold charges anymore.
Go for it. I picked
All
the lighter
righty.
one knowing that we have a guest after your topic, so.
Okay, well, so I thought I'd stick with my theme last time of fun and games
Okay.
with the Ouija board. And I was going to talk about Japanese paranormal games.
Ooh.
Let me
Like video
put on my
games?
reading glasses. No. In-person games. All right, so hide and seek alone. Oh, let me do a disclaimer. If you decide to do any of these games and something terrible happens to you, it's not our fault.
Yeah,
We're not telling you to do it.
if you get
We're just telling you
brainwashed.
about it. Just use your own sense. Okay. Hide and seek alone. To play hide and seek alone, you need a stuffed doll. This could be like a stuffed animal, a bag of uncooked rice, enough to fill the doll.
I
And I
have
have
all
50
these
pounds now
things.
in the
I would say
basement,
I got so
so
much rice.
I could totally do this. You need a needle and crimson thread, a sharp knife, a cup of salt. You also need to choose somewhere to hide. Dun, dun, dun. So what you're going to do is you're going to cut open your doll, your stuffy, or whatever you're using, and you're going to take out the stuffing. Then you're going to fill the doll with your uncooked rice. So in many Asian cultures, uncooked rice is believed to attract spirits. And I got 50 pounds of it in the basement. So hopefully it only attracts friendly spirits. Step two, clip your fingernails and put them inside of the doll. This will bind the doll to you.
Do fake nails not count?
No, they do not count. That will bind the doll to the fake nail manufacturer. It's not what you want. Step three, sew the doll up with the crimson thread. It needs to be crimson because red is a scary color.
This is true.
Then tie up the doll with the rest of the thread. So the thread being red also represents blood and binds the spirit to the doll. You want the binding of the spirit. Step four, fill the bathtub with water. If you don't have a bathtub and you have a shower, not sure what to do there. Step five, give a name to the doll. Naming a spirit makes it more powerful. So if you were doing this, Macy, what would you name your doll?
Mm-hmm. Panda.
Panda?
Don't judge my name.
Is it a stuffed panda that you're dissecting and filling with new guts?
No, it's a doll named Panda.
Okay. Wow. Step six at 3 a.m. 3 a.m., not 2 a.m., not 4 a.m., but 3 a.m. Go to the bathroom,
With
pick
Panda.
up the doll, take your panda, and say three times, "Panda is the first it. Panda is the first it. Panda is the first it." Place the doll in the bathtub, take the knife with you, and go around the house, turning all the lights off. Switch the TV on to a static white noise channel. If you don't have a
Does that
TV,
exist?
I'm not sure if you can play this game.
Doesn't
Step
sound like a
nine.
great game. If you have a
Go
stand-up
back to your.
shower.
It's not the game for you. Go back to your hiding place, close your eyes, and count to 10. Return to the bathroom with the knife in your hand. Step 11. Oh, step 10 was return to the bathroom. Step 11, say, "I found you, Panda," and stab Panda with the knife.
What did Panda ever do to me, though?
Step 12, say three times, "Now Panda is it," and put the doll and the knife back into the tub. Immediately run to your hiding place and wait. At this point, you may hear the pitter-patter of tiny feet. If the doll is close, you will hear the white noise on the TV change. If at any time you want to end the game, take a mouthful of salt water. Keep it in your mouth.
You need to
Don't swallow it. Yes.
pause and answer the questions in the chat room. You've got a lot.
We are at step 13 so far, so not a 12-step program.
What's
Good
the name of the
question.
game?
Hide and seek alone.
And then what if Panda isn't there when you go back?
Solo hide and seek. Well, okay, so where are we? We're with the salt water in the mouth. Don't swallow it. Get out of your hiding place and find Panda. Panda will not be in the bathroom. Whatever happens, don't spit out the salt water. For God's sake, don't spit it out.
Okay.
When you find Panda, pour the rest of the salt water into a cup over it, then spit the salt water in your mouth over it as well and say three times, "I win! I win! I win!" And cut the crimson thread. This is supposed to free the spirit and end the ritual. Is it
Sea
sea
salt.
salt? Well, I am a Jew, so I'm going to say it's kosher salt, motherfuckers. Right, so I have three of these. Do I have time for three or should I just do two? You tell me, Mason.
I have no idea what time
Time
it is.
clock watcher.
39 minutes. I don't know. Do the next one. We'll see.
Well, I'm going to choose wisely then. Which one shall I do? Okay, I'll let you choose. Do you want Tsuji-ura, the fortune-telling game, or do you want the elevator game?
Elevator game.
Or maybe we should let the room choose.
Room choose.
Tsuji-ura, fortune-telling game, or elevator game? The one where you don't stab something. Okay, well, that's both of them. Not helpful, Hot Wheelin' B.
Room coat
Right,
and
fortune telling
elevator.
was first. Oh, that was P Dog. Jesus Christ.
Elevator.
Is Saatchi. Saatchi, are you Saatchi from Lilac City
No.
Roller Derby, Saatchi? Oh, okay, never mind. All right, elevator game. So I first learned about the elevator game. Sorry, P Dog. I love you, but I can't let you have special privileges on the podcast.
Technically, he did post first, but.
I know, but I feel like he's just like got the hot button.
The
So
easy
I
button.
first he's got the, that was easy. So I first heard about the elevator game during my explorations into the mysterious death of Elisa Lam. Are you familiar with that, Macy?
No.
I may do that as a future topic. I was obsessed with this, and in our podcast group, I may post the YouTube video of her in the elevator pushing the buttons. People that are experts in the elevator game have analyzed the video and said she was not doing the right sequence, so she was not probably playing the elevator game. But that's how I first heard of it, and I think that was about 5 years ago that she was found dead. Crazy, crazy mystery that has not yet been solved to my satisfaction. All right, the elevator game has originated in Japan and South Korea. I think it's more popular in South Korea. So this is a ritual that will bring you to another world. This is what you'll need. At least one person. So, yourself.
Me.
Already, both of these games that I've discussed, you can play alone. You also need, perfect for our time of social distancing, if you can leave the house, which we cannot, as of a couple hours ago, Washington State went into shelter in place. That's why Macy and I are being responsible and podcasting from our own homes using the future. What are you
That
going to
was
say,
funny.
something?
You did the peace sign in the Zoom, but your finger got cut off and it looked like you were flipping
Oh
me
my
off.
God, it looks like I'm flipping myself off.
Yeah.
All right. So, a public building with at least 10 floors, you'll also need. And you'll need, obviously, an elevator. So, to start the game, the player or players, if you're bringing a pal, need to enter the elevator. Now, these instructions are very specific and you have to follow them exactly, or something terrible could happen to you. So you enter on the first floor. So that's the first thing. Then
That makes sense.
you press the fourth floor button. Do not proceed if someone enters the elevator or one of the players leaves the elevator. If someone does that, you have to start from the beginning. The sequence is very important. Next, you press the second floor. Again, if someone comes on or someone leaves, start over. Then you press the sixth floor. Again, do not proceed if someone enters the elevator or if one of the players leaves the elevator. You must start over.
Could see this being a very time-consuming game.
I think it just depends how busy the building is at
Yeah,
that
which
time.
elevator, where?
Yeah. Was I on second floor? Or where
You
was I?
said
Sixth?
third.
I never said third.
No?
Okay.
Second?
Fourth, second, sixth, back to second, same thing. Then the tenth. Do not proceed if someone enters or if someone leaves, if one of the players leave. If someone does that, start from the beginning. Then you press the fifth floor. Same thing. Do not proceed if someone enters the elevator or one of the players leave. You must start over. This is like the game of Sorry. Wah, wah, wah. Back to home.
I love that game.
Which sometimes works to your advantage, I have to say.
I played that game with my Aunt Kim a lot. That's actually Sachi in the room.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Now, at the fifth floor, very crucial floor, If a woman enters the elevator at the fifth floor, do not look at her, do not speak, and do not talk to her. That woman is not human. If you
Gosh.
do, if you talk to her, she will decide to keep you for her own. Yeah, this is serious, Macy. Fifth floor.
This poor woman getting on the elevator.
Do not fuck with the fifth floor woman.
Don't do it.
Then you want to press the first floor. Again, do not proceed. If someone enters the elevator or one of the players leaves, you have to start over. The elevator then will either ascend or descend. If the elevator reaches the first floor, leave and do not look back. If the elevator reaches the 10th floor, leave and do not respond to the woman if she asks things like, "Where are you going?" or "What's wrong?" Her voice will be high when she asks that.
Because she's genuinely concerned about your behavior in the elevator. What's wrong?
Where are you going? Do not
Something wrong?
proceed if someone enters the elevator or one of the players leaves the elevator. If someone does that, start over. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Monopoly, I hated that game.
I didn't. I'm a pretty
Opted
good
out.
Monopoly player.
I had my niece play for me at the last family board game. I
I
found
have
out
a
the banker.
proven strategy. It's proven.
What's
Time honored.
I became what's house poor?
Did you have to mortgage all your properties?
Multiple times.
Okay, so now if the elevator reaches the 10th floor, you are in the other world.
Oh, snap.
You are in the other world. I'll say it again.
This is like those Haruki Murakami books, the Japanese writer, where lots of weird world-changing stuff happens. It reminds me of that.
Yep. So if you get to that 10th floor and nobody's there, nobody's around, you are not in the world that you left. Electronics will not work in the other world. The other world is identical to our world, but the two differences you will see are all the lights will be off, and the only thing you will be able to see from the windows is a red cross in the distance. So, if you want to know how to return to our world, because obviously you're going to be shitting yourself
Obviously.
on that 10th floor other world, you must go to the same elevator and press the same buttons. So, this is if you're leaving the 10th floor, which is the other world. So, you have to do the same order, which is 4, 2, 6, 2, 10, 5, 1. When you reach the fifth floor, press the button for the first floor. The elevator will again begin to ascend to the 10th floor. Press any other floor's button to cancel the ascension. You must press the button you use to cancel the ascension before you reach the 10th floor,
This is a
or you're
lot of
basically
math.
fucked. You're fucked. So I was watching some YouTube videos of people doing this, and they wrote the sequence on their hand so that if they got in a fluster, could just look at their hand and press buttons.
Okay, that
Makes
makes sense.
sense. Yeah. After you again reach the first floor, check your surroundings carefully. If anything seems off, even the smallest detail, do not exit the elevator. If you detect something wrong, repeat step two until your surroundings look as they should. Once you are confident, you have returned to your own world. Only then may you safely exit the elevator. So, just to reiterate, here's some tips. The woman on the fifth floor. Do you remember, Macy, what you're supposed to do?
Don't look at her.
And
Talk to her.
Right. Do not look at her. Do not speak to her.
And she'll say, "What's wrong?"
She is not a woman. If you
She's
look at her or speak to her, she may decide to keep you for her own.
What does that mean?
What do you think it means?
Do I become panda?
You might.
And I
I
get
mean,
stabbed in the shower?
maybe you'll wake up sewn up with crimson thread somewhere in a bathtub. I'm
Oof.
not sure. Filled with rice. Fuck, that's probably gonna be what I dream
Fucked up.
about tonight. I'm gonna have a nightmare. Pandas and rice and elevators and crimson thread and women. All right. So here's another tip. Say someone enters, someone leaves. So you really have to begin again. Like, that's very important. If someone enters or someone leaves, you have to start over, or else you could get lost between worlds and never return. So only people, if you want to get to that other world, only people that leave at the 10th floor go to the other world. Getting back to your own world may be more difficult than it seems. You may become disoriented and forget which elevator in which you arrived. The elevator may sooner seem to get further and further away as you walk towards it. And so on. Like all the horror
So
movies we've always seen, where the hallway extends on and on and on, and you just can't get there, and you're running and running. Ah. So it's very important to keep your wits about you. If at any point during the ritual you faint, pass out, or otherwise lose consciousness, you will likely wake up in your own home.
What? Is that because the emergency workers took you
Probably.
there?
However, be sure to carefully examine your surroundings upon waking. The quote unquote home to which you have been returned may not be the one you left when you first set out to attempt this ritual.
Is this from North Korea?
South and Japan.
South? Okay.
Yep. I'm pretty sure games from North Korea do not get leaked to sites like Animo.com, where I got all these games. You must not, in any case, attempt this game too many times. This makes you susceptible to accidental slipping
It's
through
like
worlds.
the
Ouija board, Macy, were you not paying attention?
Actually, when I was
Yes.
looking up photos, I
Drive
was
me to
very
drink it, woman!
carefully typed the A at the end.
Ouija.
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 Ouija
Okay.
board.
A couple more tips and then I'll wrap this baby up. If you do not get out of the elevator on the 10th floor, or if the woman does not get in, you should head straight back down to the first floor. Sometimes when you're coming back, the elevator goes back up instead of down. You have to cancel the ascension by pressing any button between your current floor and the 10th and get off, because that means the other world is pulling you. Fuck.
Hate it when that
It's like that rope on Poltergeist, that
happens.
goopy, goopy rope.
Remember, I
If
haven't
you
seen it.
can. In the fuck? If you faint in the other world, well, you know what? You have lots of time now during the shelter in place to get.
I have to go to work tomorrow. I am still working.
You will find that you will have time.
What do you mean? I have to deal with two a California office and a Washington office that are still working and help them navigate that. I won't have
Listen,
time.
Macy. I insist that you find time to get through the must-watch list that I've created for you. I'm going to recreate it and resend it to you and check in. Don't make me get Netflix party option, because I will.
What is that a thing?
Yeah, you haven't heard of that?
No.
Netflix created this during this trying times so that you can get on with your pals, watch the same show together, and comment in real time.
So it's like Netflix and chill with the online commentary?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It seems so 90s. I love it. All right. Last tip. If you faint in the other world and find yourself back in your world, for God's sakes, be careful. You can be pulled there and back at any given moment. This also happens to people with connection susceptible souls.
What? We just talked about this.
We just talked about this.
Which is emotional vulnerability.
That's right. Damn. All
Bam.
right, so
Pulled those two things together.
follow up on next Monday, and I will tell you more paranormal games from
Ooh.
Japan.
I like that you're wearing your glasses. It makes you look like a librarian in the food aisle,
Does it make me look smart?
bread aisle. Yeah,
Watch
it's a
this.
good look.
Do you like that
Yeah.
trick with glasses?
Yeah, I like the glass wiggle. So,
Back to my normal blurry existence. I'll take those off.
now we have to see if we can get our guest speaker on using all of the newly found tactics. Okay. Guest speaker, if you're still listening, can you call in, please? I want to see if it kicks Naomi off or not.
Don't kick me off.
Well,
I
it's a
finally got on.
kind of a too bad scenario. We'll see though. I
This
think
is
it'll let
all a
us.
big experiment for us. We usually just sit in the same room, so this is
Okay,
new
here we
territory.
go. Here we
Somebody's
go.
knocking at my bedroom door.
Who is
Who is
it?
that?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing
Good.
good.
I like
Hey.
the paranormal. That was cool.
Yeah, Naomi. We can still hear you. And guest speaker, can you turn down your volume a little?
Yeah, there's like way too much echo.
How's that?
Better.
Yes, better.
Good deal.
There's
Okay,
a little
so
echo still.
yeah, if you can turn it down even more, put a headset in is helpful.
Put a headset in it. Oh my God.
I think TSA stole my earbuds.
Oh.
Hi, Macy's mom. Oh,
Hi.
yeah, I hear myself echoing.
Hold on.
And hello, guests from Mexico in the room. Peace.
Hola.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
All right, so how do we get rid of the echo so we can hear prison stories?
I'm working on it. Hold on.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, so on the Disturbometer, where would you rate my topic, Macy? 1 to 10. 1 being Billy Whack Monster, 10 being Dark Web. What do you think? What does the room think?
I would say a 5. I think you're in line. Unless I
In
had to see
line.
it happen.
So a
If I,
5.
yeah.
So both of our topics are a 5.
P Dog gave it a 4.3.
I don't know if my wheel does
Four.
fractions, so let's keep it to rational numbers, please.
There, it sounds like a 4.
4. Oh, I'm being downgraded. I'm gonna post a picture of my Disturbometer because I'm super proud of it. Because I'm not the crafty type. Like, this took a lot of effort. I had to break out a ruler and some scissors, and I'm proud of it. I think it looks pretty good. What do you think, Macy?
It does look very good. You have to post a picture.
I will.
Okay. Are you there, guest speaker? I hear the rustle of a headset.
I'm going to have some more wine while we're waiting for our guest speaker to figure this out. You have to talk, Macy. Dead silence doesn't work well with this format.
Are you ready?
Oh my God, I don't think she's
ready.
Maybe.
No. Go ahead, share your third story. Your third one while she's getting set up.
Do the people want a third ritual? A third Japanese paranormal game?
No, they don't. She's ready.
Oh. Sorry, peeps. Next Monday. It's really good.
Put the Xbox headset on. I'm rolling now.
All right. So can you go ahead and introduce yourself and share your deeply disturbing story with us?
Which one? I have a lot.
Pick the most disturbing one.
Oh, okay. Well, this kind of goes with your alien spooky stuff. And
maybe you should first say a little bit about your, just briefly, like your work in the prison,
who I am?
Like what you did and all that.
Oh, okay. Okay. I worked over in Monroe, at a psychotic sex offenders unit for 10 years, which they were all deeply disturbed. And all psychotic and all sex offenders. So they were a great group.
How long did you work there?
10 years. Yeah.
And you're also my mother.
You weren't born. You weren't conceived there either.
I'm happy to hear that. Thanks.
Yeah.
I still think Macy needs to be called a prison baby.
Oh, no.
I think that means something different than you think it does.
Yeah, it does. We won't go there.
All right, lead the way. Tell us your story.
Disturbing story. Let's hear it.
Okay. So I worked in the prison, and this particular prison housed 144 inmates. And so there was A block, B block, C block, and D block. And I worked mostly on B block, but I took different shifts or whatever, and I'd work rotation and rover and whatever. I was young when I started working there. Not a lot of females in that job. And some of them came and went really quick because it was a hard job. When I first started working there, we wore civilian clothing. And after I got through probation and was a regular hire, I was like, I don't want to wear my regular clothes here. It was like, they didn't see women as an officer. They saw you as a woman. So I went to the union and complained about that. And they actually issued us uniforms after that. And I made the
sex
first
offender unit.
Yeah. And I made the first maternity uniform in that prison.
Wait, was that me?
Yep. Oh. That was you. And anyway, so probably into my second year, I was still considered probably a rookie. And this guy that I worked with on our unit, he used to be a football player for the UW. Big, huge guy. His name was Sherwood. Anyway... We went out to the yard because we were called out to bring an inmate in. And you go out to the big yard, and you have to walk him into a silo and then cuff him up in the silo and then walk him in the hall because he was on AgSeg. So we get him walked in and we have to pat him down because at this time they had eliminated all lighters and matches. So he had said he had matches on him or somebody had saw him or something. And so we were patting him down and searching, and he had this little pile of stuff in his hand, you know, just a collection of paper and junk. And we had him cuffed, and he still had it in his hand, and I took it. Oh, no, we didn't have him cuffed yet. Sorry. I took his paper so that we could cuff him. And he turned around in the middle of me sitting here searching this paper for matches and turned around and clipped me in the face and knocked me back against the plexiglass wall. And I just remember bouncing off of it and running towards Sherwood, who was trying to get him cuffed. Huh?
Oh, I couldn't hear you for a second, but you're back.
Oh,
it might just be my technology.
Oh. I think it's you. I heard her.
It's always anyway, me.
And he was just like jibber jabbering this whole time too, because he believed there was aliens, and he was really pissed off that I had his paper, and that was his protection from aliens. And I mean, he was really off his rocker. Anyway, so when after he hit me and I bounced off the wall and saw Sherwood going to take him down, and then I jumped on him and grabbed a set of cuffs off of Sherwood and was cuffing him. And as I've got him cuffed, he's sitting there laughing, and I look in his hand and he now has Sherwood's watch in his hand. During this scuffle, he managed to pull this guy's watch off. Yeah, right. Anyway, so he got launched into his cell under his bed, and then after the door got slammed shut, I'm standing there and I'm feeling like I'm just fixing to hit the floor, and I feel up on my face and I like wipe and there's blood, and Sherwood looks at me and he's like, "Oh shit, your face is fucked up." And I went, "What?" And that was like almost the last thing I remember. I remember them calling somebody, and the next thing I remember, I was at the hospital because I think I passed out in the infirmary.
Oh no.
But he had laid my nose out. Yeah, he had laid my fractured my cheekbone and laid my nose completely over the side of my face.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's when you were conceived right after that.
Oh, I don't need to know that. I do have to tell you that in my mom's...
We all needed to know that.
My mom's wedding photos, she has a black eye from a scuffle with an inmate.
That was so it.
Oh, it was that one? Was,
yeah.
Okay.
Yep, that's what happened.
Shortly before the marriage.
Wait a minute. So Macy was conceived before the marriage, is the math I'm hearing.
No, she was conceived after.
Uh-huh.
Like pinpointing days. But yeah, no.
I don't want to pinpoint anything.
Right.
What was it like working in that unit? Or like your daily basis stuff?
Well, you went in and you did like a 15-minute like debriefing from what happened for the shift before you to what's going to happen for the day, and then you take over the shift. And you have like one person that works in a booth, and you have two officers on the floor. and you rotate during an 8-hour shift, who's in the booth, who's on the floor. And basically, excuse me, inmates are, you know, going to their counselors, and you're kind of watching to make sure they're not flaking out on counselors. And the counselor's offices are like up behind you in glass windows, up in front of you. And you got to constantly keep track of your officers, where they're at on the floor, if you're in the booth. And, you know, if they call a code, you got to be able to lock everything down from the booth, shut all the tiers off, and call main control, tell them you have code and what in reference the code is, you know, if you got an officer down or if you got an inmate, you know, fight or whatever. We had an inmate once go off in the locker room, or in, not locker room, in the day room, and they were painting it because they thought blue and pink were soothing colors to paint the day rooms to help the inmates to keep calm, and it would help their moods.
I thought it was supposed to be light green. Light green is supposed to be soothing.
Or yellow.
I don't know, I'm not a counselor. They had us paint all the day rooms.
Well, yellow is aggravating, Macy.
I don't
That's why they have a green room off stage. They don't have a yellow room.
That, I don't know. Anyway, so we got this inmate named Bubba, who is this big, huge black man, as tall as he is broad. And he hadn't been taking his meds. Well, when psychotic sex offenders don't take their meds,
Bad things happen.
They just start going crazy. They start fighting each other. They start fighting officers and start throwing food and shit at you.
What's the code for that? Code Brown?
Yeah. Shit throwers.
Like, what did they say over the loudspeaker?
We just call codes and say the inmates, you know, throwing shit in the day room or whatever he's doing.
Like, what do you say? Like, code what?
Code Brown.
No, there's no code Brown. There's no code. There's no code name for it. We just call in codes.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, Explain. They just say a code means there's something wrong. And then you tell them.
You just say code.
Yeah.
And that just means something.
Right, and you call main control, and you tell them you got a code, you got an inmate locked into the day room, and he's throwing shit. And then main control sends the goon squad, which is the rovers. They gather them all up, and they hit the doors and come down, and they have a key, so you don't have to screw with letting them in. And they key themselves in, and they come in, and whether they have riot shields and a camera, and they take him out.
We've heard about the goon squad before on here. They sound forceful.
Have you ever had shit thrown on you?
Yes, I have. I've had shit thrown on me. I've had my hands slammed in lockers, or in door slots, food slots. I've had my wrist completely jacked backwards.
Oh.
I got a letter of accommodation once.
What's that?
Letter accommodation is like when you do something really cool and really good, and like you're a fucking superhero for the day.
What'd you do?
We had a rec leader that had taken out a group of guys to go play baseball out in the big yard, and I was rover that day, so I was like part of the goon squad response. You know, if they called a code, I had to go to wherever. And they called a code and said that it was an inmate out swinging a bat in the big yard at the rec leader. So I ran out the silo door, out to the big yard. Oh, my throat. Anyway, so I run out there, and I'm assessing it as I'm running because I see all these inmates and I'm trying to see where everybody's at. I see the rec leader ducking and cowering, and I'm like, what the shit? And I run up to this kid, and I tell him to drop the bat, and he turns, and he swings at me, and I ducked, and he missed me. And before he could swing again, I had slammed him down to the ground, shoved his face in the dirt and the mud, and then just kind of sat on him till the rest of the people came out, the officers, to help me get him in and get all the rest of the inmates under control.
So you can brawl.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
So don't fuck with Macy's mom is the message here, I think.
Very true. Well, thank you for sharing.
No, you're welcome. My horror stories.
Yeah, that was cool.
I liked hearing similar lingo that I've heard my dad say, and then you guys speak the same prison speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like and Rovers.
Yeah.
And, you know, Blocked. Bob. You ought to talk to him sometime because your other dad, because he was a physical force instructor, and he also, he was in it deep all the time.
What's a physical force instructor?
It's where they learn all the techniques for hair holds and restraints that we use on inmates.
Hair holds? What's a hair hold?
Oh, I could slam you into a hair hold in a minute, girly, with your long hair.
Oh, I'm sure. I am not tough.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I have to tell you the story sometime, because I got drunk in a bar once, which, when I was young, wasn't unusual. But I was by myself, and I got drunk in this bar, and this girl, something was going on or something, and she was pissed off, and I told her, I said, this is what you got to do, and I grabbed her by her hair and slammed her up against the wall, and I said, this is a hair hold you can use on them. That'll keep you safe, and she's like, oh my God, that was so good, blah, blah.
So, my dad just said in the room, Yoshida hair hold? Is that what it's called?
Yoshida. Yeah.
Yoshida hair hold.
Yep.
Interesting. We'll post directions on our Facebook. If
so you're actually trained in like this like super like bar brawl techniques?
Uh-huh. Yeah, after I had Macy, I went out with my girlfriend and got drunk and we got kicked out of a bar. So then we went to Denny's to go eat because I almost beat up a girl in the bar for throwing beer on my cigarettes. But anyway... I don't hold my liquor well. Anyway, so we go to Denny's to have breakfast. And this guy is at the register with his girlfriend. And we were walking up. Me and Evelyn. You know Evelyn. You remember Evelyn.
Yes, I do.
Everybody knows Evelyn.
Anyway, so... or a Evelyn.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... He slaps this woman right in front of me. And I walked up to him and I said, hey, dude, that's not cool. Don't be hitting women. And he took his hands and he pushed me right in the chest and slammed me back into the pie case. I freaking came the fuck unglued. I grabbed him by the hair of the head. And
the Yoshida and slammed, hold.
No, this was from, I grabbed him from the front of it facing him and took, and it's called a two-handed hair hold takedown or something. Anyway, so I grabbed him by his hair, slammed him down to the ground, and then walked him out by the hair of his head out the front doors. They had called the cops. The cops came, and one of the guys that was a cop had been at the officer academy I went to, and he's like, you sure you don't want to come work for us? And I'm in a mini skirt and high heels and just kicked this guy's ass.
I'm not going to fuck with you, Macy's mom.
No, okay. I'm older now. I was young.
I got jumped a while back, and I got pulled down by my hair by the river. And
No!
I mean, it turned out okay in the end, but
well, I need to teach you good hair holds and good throat punches. Always use your elbow. Hit him in the face.
Well,
with
that's
your elbow.
What I did use to get out of it was like I was throwing reverse elbow swings or whatever you call them.
Right.
Sling the elbows. But yeah, I think that lady that ran up out of the river, out of the bushes and jumped me, she maybe was an expert in the Yoshida Herald.
Yeah, she just yanked you to the ground.
She did.
I had a throat punch that bitch.
I was trying. She was behind me. I was on the ground. It was a tough situation.
Well, okay.
So I'm a little bit wimpy with the fighting. I've said that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
You need to practice.
I do.
You took a boxing class once.
Yeah, and I won my boxing match only because I was so fucking scared that I just didn't stop punching until it was over. That's the only reason I won. It was terrifying.
Tunnel vision.
For fear of getting hit in the face.
That's I had no defense. All about. 100% offense. I did no defensive moves whatsoever.
No one puts the baby in the corner.
Cartoon like punching characters just like on a speed bag. That's what I was doing.
Well, thank you, Mom, aka Cat. And thanks.
Love you. Yeah, talk to you later.
Bye.
Thanks for having me.
Macy, you have interesting parents.
I know. I do.
So did they meet because they were both working in prisons?
Yes.
Was there some kind of
prison
mixer that they met at? So like a barbecue?
Probably.
Was there a Secret Santa? Like, how did it go down?
I just hung up on them. I don't know.
You don't know your
I don't ask these
origin
questions.
Story?
Half
Macy.
Of these origin stories I just ignore. My dad said he was drunk, so.
Oh, God. Are they going to start fighting now on the app?
Oh, it's been going. My dad's, it's like, that's called a takedown. Anyways, yes, I have some prison blood in me.
Well, I don't.
Does it show?
It doesn't show. I mean, maybe
Derby.
It would come out.
Derby, little.
That's true. Yeah, you're highly competitive.
I'm pretty, very aggressive on the track.
Yeah, you gave it 100%, 110% out there for sure. So maybe your competitive drive comes from your prison blood.
Yeah, and that urge to be opposite of parents is my like urge to read a book instead of throat punching.
That's right.
All right. Well, you ready to wrap it up?
Sure. Until next time, don't look at her. Don't speak to her.
And keep that sense of humor. We need it more now than ever.
We do, more than ever.